thought it would be kind of special for us to see where the good brother lives. I'm going to be sharing with you from right where we are, Central Florida Bible Church, as you can see here on the screen. But let's go on a trip in about 40 seconds across the sea and see precisely, if Google Earth did it correctly, where his home is. It's going to pause when we get into Europe, right in this area, so you can kind of get a feel where Sam was in Ukraine. That's right on the far corner over there, but it will go a little bit closer there in about another 7 or 8 seconds, and then it will be going up towards the circle that you see at the top. So, brother, you'll have to tell us how accurate this is. Is that Anna up there waving? No, just kidding. Reasonably?
Reasonably, yeah.
Okay, so, brother, I give it to you, and Lord bless you in your message.
It's within walking distance. So. Well, I came to you from Poland, and before I came, I was warned not to come too close to alligators. And So far, I have not seen one, so I'm still in search of one. But you see, I come from Poland, and as you probably know, Poland had a history together with Jewish people for about 800 years. Jewish people were dispersed around the world and in the diaspora, and 800 years they lived on Polish soil. In fact, before the Second World War, Poland had the largest Jewish population in the whole of Europe. There were over 3 million Jews living in Poland before the Second World War. But tragically, 90% of that number was killed in the Holocaust. I was told by one Hebrew Christian from Israel, that the Jewish people used to call Poland by two names. They used two names for Poland. One name was Polin. And, well, I'm not a Hebrew expert, but I was told that that name means rested here. You see, the Jewish people, they had to escape Western Europe, Spain or France or other places, and they went to the east. And they came to Poland, and they called this place Polin. They could rest. They had no persecution. They had freedom. And also, later on, and that was the golden age of Poland, they called Poland Polania. And that name means, here dwells God. Here dwells God. Amazing names for Poland. And certainly, as I said before, for centuries, the Jewish people lived next to Polish people in my country. Today there is only a handful of Jewish people left in my country. Many obviously emigrated to Israel or to other countries. And it is estimated there are no more than 15,000 Jewish people in Poland. That's why we extend, as Friends of Israel, our ministry to Eastern Europe. It's not only in Poland, but also Eastern Europe. That's Russia, Belarus, Ukraine. And so I am going to tell you and show you some slides from this ministry. Tragically, the enemy of God and enemy of Jewish people, enemy of Christians, chose my land for near extermination of that nation. But there are still alive Jewish people with whom we have contacts, to whom we witness about Christ and about the love of God, who loves them still, and He wants them to be saved. We read this text from Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And that text says that It is the power of God unto salvation. It is. It doesn't say it was. It is. Today it is the power of God unto salvation. It also says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And also the third thought in that verse, still it is to the Jew first. It doesn't say to the Jew only, but it says to the Jew first. It says about priority in God's program of salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Remember in Matthew's Gospel, on one occasion the Lord Jesus said that he sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm so glad that's not the end of the Gospel of Matthew. But in 28th chapter we read that we should go and make disciples of all nations. But in God's program it's always to the Jew first and also to non-Jewish people. So the goal of the Friends of Israel ministry in Poland and Eastern Europe, as you can read, is to reach out with the Word of God to Jewish people and non-Jewish people, to Polish people, to Russian people. I know one sister in southern Poland, she works with gypsy children, 150 gypsy children, and she tries to reach with the gospel with these people. But also, not only in Poland, as you can see here on this map, but also in Belarus, here in Ukraine, and Russia. This is the mainland Russia, and also this part here, it is also Russia. And we can organize camps for children from Russia, from Belarus, from Ukraine. What we believe as Friends of Israel workers, we believe according to the scriptures that Israel is God's chosen people, playing the special role in God's plan of salvation for mankind. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that salvation is of the Jews. And so the Lord Jesus came not to any other nation, but to the Jewish nation. And he died not only for his own people, but for the whole world. My motivation, as I read in our previous session from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 14, this is the scripture through which the Lord called me to this ministry. And this portion, have not I sent thee? I always remember that I am not sent by anybody else, but by the Lord himself. And so I have to fulfill my ministry. God's promises and commandments from the scriptures. Probably you know all these verses. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And this is my ministry, to bless this Jewish people. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How often do you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Do you know that the mostly used word in Israel is the word shalom? It's for the greeting. It's for like hello or goodbye. It has many meanings, that word. But the basic meaning, of course, is peace. And they have no peace. You know from the media of so many terrorist attacks that took place. And so pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We also have to keep not silence and give our Lord no rest. That is, we have to pray that he will fulfill his promises for his people. Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And very often it is the ministry of comfort. I used to visit one Jewish lady in Warsaw. She's with the Lord now. She was saved a few months before she passed away. But I visited her a few times with a word of comfort. I read Psalms to her. I talked to her. She told me that she was in the Jewish ghetto in Warsaw. for 2 years and 7 months. She saw all the horrors of the Nazi occupation. And she survived. Some Polish people hid her in secret, and she survived as the only one in her family. Her 8 brothers and sisters died. And so her prayer was, "Lord, allow me to live 45 minutes after the war ends." And the Lord answered her prayer and allowed her to live over 45 years. And very often we come and visit such people, and we come to with the words of comfort. And also, with this proclamation, "They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord." And this is God's desire, that these people, Jewish people, will be saved. So this is some scriptures concerning salvation. Very often we speak about the Lord Jesus as the Savior. But in that verse, in Acts 13, Jesus is called Savior of Israel. God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. And this is His name, Jesus, because He will save His people. He is the Savior of Israel. The Samaritan woman, that story in John's Gospel chapter 4, there He is called the Savior of the world. In Ephesians, He is called the Savior of the body, that is, the Savior of the church. And so we proclaim that Savior. Also, we pray as Christians, and especially that prayer of Apostle Paul from Romans 10. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And here we have Romans 1:16. How can they be saved? Through the gospel. It's the same gospel. We bring humanitarian help to the Jewish remnant, especially Holocaust survivors. These are lonely people, elderly people, ill people, bedridden people. So we try to help them. We organize Bible study groups and special Shabbat evenings and biblical feasts for and with our Jewish friends. And this is one picture that was taken in Sweden. Not in Poland, but in Sweden. I only visited that country once, and it happened that it was a Shabbat meeting for the Jewish people, and later on, after the meal, I could speak from Romans letter, chapter 8 and 9, about Christ. We also organized summer holidays with the Bible for our Jewish friends from Poland and Eastern Europe, and last August we had a group of 15 Jewish people from Belarus at the camp we organized near Warsaw. Sometimes we get involved in events that are important for the Jewish community. It's not specifically a gospel outreach, but we want to stand with Israel. We want to stand together with Jewish people in solidarity with them, to show them that it is not true that the whole country, the whole of Poland, is anti-Semitic. No, we as Christians, we are with them. And so, this is the map of Poland. Here you have this infamous place, Auschwitz. In Polish, it is called Oświęcim. In Yiddish, it was called Auschpitzen. The last Jewish person that lived in that town died in 5 or 6 years ago. So there are no more Jews in that town. Before the Second World War, half of the population of that town was Jewish. And so you can see where it was located. And at that time, the Jews had to march between Auschwitz and Birkenau. That was another concentration camp. And that was the march of death. 2 miles, quick march for these people who could hardly stand on their legs. And so today, Jewish people organize the March of the Living. they invite thousands of Jewish young people from not only from Israel, but from other countries as well. They come to Auschwitz for this march between these two concentration camps, a march of the living. This nation is still alive. It will never be conquered. So you can see Auschwitz, all these buildings where the Jews were imprisoned, and now these Jewish people from Israel and other countries, they come, they prepare for this march. And also some Polish people, and that banner is in English, so everyone can read. It says, Polish friends of Israel in solidarity with you. And then there is a Bible quotation, number 6, the Aaronic blessing for the Jewish people. And this is Birkenau. It was like 3 or 4 times larger than Auschwitz. Later on, we also traveled to the countries of the former Soviet Union. So it's not only Poland, also Eastern Europe. And for years or generations, Jewish people were cut off from their Jewish heritage. They could have a synagogue, like one synagogue in a main city, like Moscow or St. Petersburg, and that's it. But they were not allowed to have any religious education for the young people. The same it was with Christians. No children or young people under 18 years of age were allowed officially to be at the Christian meeting in the church under the Soviet Union rule. Very often, the Jewish people I meet with in Russia, they are atheists. They know they are Jewish, but they know nothing about the Bible, nothing about God of Israel, no knowledge at all. So we visit these Jewish people in their homes, in various cities and towns, and we come with humanitarian help, because these are very often poor people. Their average salary would be like $50 to $100 per month. So they are not very rich. Very often they are ill, so that we come with medical supplies, but mainly with the Bible, with the Bible. And one sister, she visited in St. Petersburg only 4,000 Jewish homes. And in 2000, the Bible was accepted. It's one Jewish family in Minsk, the capital of Belarus. That's another family, the same man, but the family on the right that I could visit. We also support radio ministry in St. Petersburg. The program is called The Olive Tree. It is broadcasted twice a week. It is in Russian, but it is for the Jewish people. St. Petersburg, it is a winter palace of the Tsars from the past, and a lot of water, because that's the delta of the Neva River, and they have like 200 bridges in that city. And a beautiful city. This is the synagogue in St. Petersburg, second largest in Eastern Europe. But this is Viktor and Tatiana. They were saved like 15 years ago, and the Lord called them to this radio ministry 11 years ago. And in 11 years, Brother Viktor, he wrote like over 500 programs that were recorded and broadcasted from the radio station in St. Petersburg. 20 years ago, it could be just a dream. But today, it is a reality. Every Friday and every Saturday, there is a 15-minute broadcast for the Jewish people in Russia. And they also open their home for home Bible study. And you see these people, mainly women, mainly widows, very few men, but they come, and they come to listen to the Word of God. And this is the first group that I visit every 3 months. They are mostly saved now. In the last 3 years, 17 of them were baptized. And you see, the whole room is crowded. This lady here in the middle, Tatiana kept inviting her to come to this meeting for over 4 years. She lives next, almost next door. She didn't want to come. She didn't want to have anything to do with any Bible study or whatever. But she came once, and on the first meeting she got saved. And she was baptized last year in July, and she's a wonderful Christian today. And the same stories with every one of them. And the second group, refreshments they have after the meeting. They are all crowded in the kitchen, but we provide also funds for, so they could have this meal. Baptism, believers from Finland, from the Baptist Church in Finland, they invited us and they organized the baptismal service at that lake. And I would like to point to this man. His name is Peter. And on the next slide, you will read your testimony, short testimony. Peter Gubin, 78 years of age. I was born a second time, born of the Lord, and spiritually made a new man. Now I am closer to God and the rightful member of our Christian fellowship. He was saved at the age of 78. Another man, Adolf, that's not a very popular name with Jewish people, but see, he is saved. I will always remember the day of July 15. On that day, my life was bound with God forever. After baptism, I said, Lord, I am yours. You are my Father and my Savior. Now you will lead me in my new life that you gave me. Wonderful testimony. He became saved. Finland, 2005. More people were saved. More people were baptized. This Baptist pastor baptized them all in the lake. But this man, he's 70 years of age, and he's a scientist. A Jewish man, as Kirill is his name, and he used to work, he still is, a member of the Russian Academy of Science, and he dealt with these space ships and the Russian program in the space. And he got saved. And he's like a new man today. Former atheist. He didn't believe in God at all. Today, that's a different story. And baptism last year. Four ladies and Dora, second from the right, that lady that was saved on the first meeting, she came. Full of joy, and all the others rejoicing in the Lord because they found Christ as their Savior. Amen. And so more testimonies of these people. I understood that the Lord Himself accepted me into His family and that I became the child of God, 77 years of age. So the Lord is really gracious. When I come and I visit them, I am always the youngest. I am only 46. But they are like 70, 80, 90 years old, Jewish people. And the Lord is able to save. Irina, 57. Lena, she was one of the youngest. And she said, I truly belong to Christ because I accepted Him as my Savior. He is my peace and shelter from all evils of the earth. I want to live in a way pleasing Him. That was her testimony. And we thank God for each one of them that confessed salvation in Christ. Then we also decided to organize Bible seminars in a nice place at the Baltic Sea, the Gulf of Finland, at the Baltic Sea, in the place called Zelenogorsk. Zelenogorsk. It used to be a Finnish town, but because the borders changed after the Second World War, now it is a Russian town of Zelenogorsk. Still, you can see the Lenin's monument. You can see those monuments in many places in the former Soviet Union. Lenin was the Russian revolution leader in 1917. But I found another monument, a very strange monument in that place. That monument commemorates the war between the Soviet Union and Finland in 1940. And you can see these are two rifles turned into trees. On the next slide, there is a very interesting inscription in Russian language. It says, Mir imeyte mezhdu soboyu, which is in Russian, And also in Finnish language down here, you have the quotation in English. Have peace one with another. And it is from Mark's Gospel. You do not find many monuments like that in Soviet Union, or former Soviet Union, with a Bible text on them. And this is the resort, the seaside, Morskoy Priboy in Russian. And we arrived to that place for 10 days of holidays with the Bible. For Bible study in the morning and in the evening, 10 days. And so it is Victor's Bible lecture. He carried on. Well, sorry, you won't hear him. But yeah, but his lecture was about the future of Israel, how the Lord will come to the Mount of Olives and to rescue the remnant of Israel and to establish his 1,000-year kingdom on earth, and how Satan will be bound. And that was his lecture at that time. And that's me in the middle. I also had some lecture, and I had to struggle with my Russian, because I'm not as fluent in Russian as in English, but with the help of Victor, I managed, and I could speak from John's Gospel, chapter 10, that the Lord is our good shepherd, who laid down his life for us. And they also had a time of singing, so this quotation from the book of Job, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy, and I encouraged them to sing loud and joyfully to the Lord as saved people. You will not listen to them singing, I'm sorry. Our meals, simple meals, you can see at the table, just some soup and some bread. But we rejoice that we had enough to eat. And this is the whole group. And this year, last July, I took that picture. Again, this same group, they came to listen to the Word of God. In that group, only five were not saved yet. So it is my prayer that they will become saved as soon as possible. We not only work with the adults or elderly Jewish people, also with Jewish children from Russia, Belarus, or the Ukraine. And so you can see a picture, a photo from one of the camps in the Ukraine when I distribute the Bibles to the Jewish children. And I would like to show you this Bible. This is the Bible. You see the front cover of it with the Star of David. And at the back is the menorah. And it's obviously in Russian, Svyashchennye Pisanya, which means the Holy Scriptures in Russian, but it is a special edition of the Bible for the Russian Jews. And why it is so special? Because it has a very special introduction. Usually when they start reading, they start with this introduction. And it says here, Obetovanya Boga danye evreyam, which means in English, God's promises given to the Jewish people. And they have quotations from the Bible. God's promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses. God's promises concerning the land. God's promises concerning the nation. God's promises to gather the nation in Israel, in the land. Concerning the future. Above all, it says that the new covenant supports all God's promises that God gave to the Jewish people. And then they have the text of the Bible, the Old and New Testament. But at the back of the New Testament, they have another section, prophecies about Messiah. Prophecies about Messiah. And like 12 pages, prophecies about Messiah that were fulfilled in Yeshua, that is Jesus. And here you have prophecy and fulfillment in Christ. Prophecy and fulfillment. 12 pages. So they can read for themselves and see that the one of whom Isaiah prophet spoke in 53 chapter, that was the Messiah, Christ. And also, there is a small section, the Messiah in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's about his mission, about his names, about his character. So this is the special edition of the Bible. It is large print, so we give it to elderly Jewish people, and the smaller Bibles we distribute to Jewish children at the camps that we organize. Usually we organize like 4 camps each summer. 2 camps in Poland, or 3, and 1 or 2 in the Ukraine. Sometimes we invite children from Russia, sometimes from Belarus, sometimes from Ukraine. And then we give these Bibles. They were financed, and they were bought by the Friends of Israel, a few thousand copies. I mentioned before about that sister that visited Jewish homes in St. Petersburg. And she visited these Jewish homes with this Bible. And in 2,000 homes, this Bible was accepted. I tell you one story. A friend of mine was in St. Petersburg in the post office. And he was sending these Bibles to Jewish addresses. And he noticed that next in line was a Jewish man. So he asked him, would you like to have a Bible? Free. He said, no, thank you, I don't want any Bible. So he took this Bible out of his bag and he asked him, would you like to have this Bible? He looked at it, this Bible, grabbed it, pressed it to his heart, and he said, it's ours. It is ours. 3 years later, that sister, she was visiting different Jewish homes. She received the addresses. And she came to one place, and as usual, she offered some humanitarian help, some basic things, and also a tract, gospel tract, and this Bible. And the man said, oh, thank you, I do not want this Bible. Why not? Well, I was at the post office 3 years before, and I was in line, and a man gave me that Bible. I read this book since that day, every day. Every day. So we never know how we can reach to people, and they read the Bible, and they got saved.
How much did that cost you?
Well, I don't know exactly, but it's around $10 per piece. A camp for Jewish children from Eastern Belarus, from the place called Mścisław, near the Russian border. And they came and we organized this camp near Warsaw. So they had a Bible lesson. They had to memorize Bible verse, one Bible verse each day. And they had a competition. Who memorizes and who speaks best from memory that Bible verse? They were just fantastic. Memorizing these verses. Another group from the Ukraine. This is our dining room for them. And the environment. It is a working farm, but they have some woods as well, some trees. So they are really in healthy conditions and they could sing. Last year we organized one camp for the first time in the Czech Republic, which is south of Poland. Very close to the Polish border, like 20 miles, maybe less, but on the other side. These Jewish children from Lviv, or Lvov, in the Ukraine, they were in the evangelical church. They were singing some Hebrew songs, and the text on the wall, I don't know if you can read that or not, but it says, Jesus is alive, follow him. And that's another camp for the Jewish children and young people from Vinnytsia in the Ukraine. But the camp was in southern Poland. See these boys and girls having the meal, a Bible lesson. We're glad that we had an interpreter from Polish into Ukrainian language. And so that helped a lot with Bible lessons. And then they had some crafts also. Some sport, table tennis. These people, these are teachers, Jewish teachers from this Jewish Sunday school, and they came with a whole group of people. So you can see some of the faces of these boys and of the girls, and boys and girls. And this is the last slide, Ministry of the Friends of Israel in Eastern Europe, Will you pray for salvation of the Jews? It is our prayer. We want to pray. We want to see them saved. And that's why we organize these all kinds of meetings with them. And I'm grateful that you as a church, you can support my ministry. Otherwise, it would not be possible. I'm also grateful to the Friends of Israel that they give me 100% support, although they receive as gifts only 45%. So I ask, how do you get the rest of money? So they say, well, we sell books or videos. Some of the books were translated into Polish. And so I encourage you to buy them in English and read. This is a book written by Victor Buxbazen, one of the leaders of the Friends of Israel in the past. He was a Polish Jew from Warsaw. And he went to America just before the Second World War. So that's how he survived. Then he contacted Sister Alice, as we call her, and they used to play together. And they used to go for vacations together, although she was Polish. After the Second World War, she had to emigrate from Poland. She spent like 19 years in Argentina. And there, the Lord called her to work among the Jewish people in Buenos Aires. And after that, she returned to Poland in 1961. And since that time, she works with the Jewish people in Poland. Today, she's 88. And she's not retired. And so this book, in English, the title is The Gospel in the Feasts of Israel. I recommend that book. You can buy it from the First Friends of Israel. And also this book by David Levy on Tabernacle. The Tabernacle, this is the Polish edition. And any other literature or the magazine Israel My Glory, I recommend for your reading. Also, they sell videos, and I would recommend to you the video called Tzvi. Maybe some of you read the book about his life. It is the Tzvi that now lives in Israel, and you had his son, Menno, with you last July. And so that Tzvi, a Polish Jew, he was spared miraculously by the Lord. So the book describes his life story, how he survived in occupied Poland for 5 years, being just a teenager on his own. So I recommend that you buy a video, because the video was produced that described his life story. So this way, Friends of Israel, they sell books, they sell videos, they have extra money to supply what is lacking in our support. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for what they do, and also grateful for you. And we pray for you as a family, and we are grateful for your prayers, and pray that my ministry will be fruitful, that I will see more Jewish people saved. My next trip to Russia will be at the beginning of October. I always travel there at the beginning of each quarter, so I can bring also funds to pay for the recording of the radio programs and for the broadcasting and some humanitarian aid or medical aid. Brother Victor, by the way, he's very ill. He has multiple sclerosis. The doctors told him that it is a miracle that he's still alive. And when he went to hospital, they gathered all the doctors and nurses so he could tell them how it is possible that he's still alive. That gave him wonderful opportunity to witness about the Lord Jesus and that he has this ministry, radio ministry, and he continues for 11 years now. And with his Bible studies, he never missed one Bible study. Even when he goes to hospital, he always asks to go home for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, to have these two Bible groups. I know that my time is finished. But just one more thing I want to tell you. I told you that I visit two Jewish groups. You saw the pictures only of one, The second group meets on Sundays in St. Petersburg in his apartment, Victor's apartment, and they started to meet last January. I was at the first meeting, January 16th, a most unusual gospel meeting in my life, 3 believers and 16 unbelievers. We quit singing in that meeting, but we had a wonderful Bible study. And when I visited them, 16 people, when I visited them last April, there were 28. They came because they had desire to know more of the Lord from the Bible. And so it is my prayer that sooner or later, rather sooner, many of them will become saved. But there's only one problem. They have not enough room in their apartment. They could invite many more, but there's no more room. 35 people, that's maximum. We pray for some new facilities. Maybe he will be able to buy a small apartment for himself and his wife, and then we can use this apartment, bigger one, as a center for the outreach. We can destroy one of the walls to make a bigger room and to invite more people. Or we could organize more meetings, maybe. We pray about it, because for us it is just a dream. To buy an apartment in St. Petersburg, it's the same as in New York. It's beyond our ability. If you have any friendly millionaires, tell them about it. And it's amazing. The radio programs, they are spread around Russia, Poland, Ukraine, Belarus, Finland, Israel, because there are many Russian-speaking Jews in Israel today. And we are grateful for that. That the message of the gospel spreads among the Jewish Russian-speaking people. And these messages are recorded on CDs. Some people emigrate not to Russia, but to Germany. And then they invite friends, and they listen to these radio programs at home. Sometimes a person from that group goes to hospital. They take a tape recorder with the messages on tapes, and they listen. One more story. A lady from that group, a wonderful sister, she went to hospital for 12 days. And on the first day, she took with herself a small radio that was provided by the Friends of Israel in the past that could be tuned only to one station, this Christian station, nothing else. So she switched on this small radio, and she listened to the Olive Tree program. It starts with Shema Israel, and then there is the message. And so she thought at first, what will be the reaction of the other 4 women in that room? But there was silence. They said nothing. They all listened to the 15-minute program. And then they said, could we listen to more programs like that? So she called her relatives to bring the tape recorder, and every day they listened to these programs from the tape. When she left hospital, she was told that out of 4 of these women, 3 were Jewish. So sometimes the Lord, it is His ways, not our ways. We never know how we can reach to some Jewish people with a message of the gospel. So please pray for this radio ministry, outreach in St. Petersburg, camps for children, and any other work, my church ministry in Poland. And I thank you for all your patience and all your support and all your prayers. And I am so grateful that I can share with you this presentation and this report.
Okay. Victor, his help, is there his successor pretty much chosen at this time?
Not yet. So I tell him, well, you must work hard on any helper. And we pray that possibly one of the students, Polish students in Philadelphia Bible University, who is Jewish, that he will become a Friends of Israel worker, and maybe if the Lord calls him, perhaps he will be sent to St. Petersburg as a helper. But it is our prayer how this work will continue. I don't know yet.
No, the Lord has it figured. What about, can you not rent a facility for meeting one-time meetings in St. Petersburg? Is that not practical?
It is possible, but you see, these are Jewish people. They are always afraid of any anti-Semitic attacks. Or they are okay in home environment. They like to come to a Jewish home, but in any public place, they are afraid to meet. That's why it is not very practical to I suggested that solution, but Victor said, no, they will not come. They will be so afraid to come. But they are like at home in our home. So we said, okay, let's continue with these meetings. Again, it is my prayer, what to do next.
Sure. But the Lord knows clearly. Before David comes and leads us in our final hymn. Yes, Glenn, you had
a
comment?
I'd like to share one thing else with you. Having been in the house, we've been able to talk to him a little more extensively. And one thing I want to share with you, he is not a man of extravagant means. In all of his travels, he has no automobile. Now, all of his travels is just by public transportation, a lot of walking, and this, that, and another. So he does not live extravagantly, and I wanted to share that with you. He's a man of God, called to do what he's doing. He does it with what he has. I just
want
to share that with you.
Yeah, so please, as the Lord moves on your heart to support his ministry and the work through Friends of Israel, again, his support level is at 45% through Friends of Israel. They are providing for his needs, but above and beyond that, clearly there are many needs, so as the Lord would have. I'm going to ask Ken Rigby if he would close this portion in prayer, and then David is going to come. We're sing our final hymn, and I'm going to ask Jim if you'll actually close the service in prayer. You can do it from right where you are after the final hymn. So Ken, if you would dedicate this portion and his message and his work to the Lord, please, and then David will come for a final hymn.
Let us pray. Our Father, it's truly been good to be in the house of the Lord today to hear from your faithful servant there in Poland and Russia and Eastern Europe. We thank you, Lord, for this blessing that we have had this morning to hear about the work, Lord, in these countries. And it's very encouraging, Lord, to see those souls being saved amongst the Jewish people especially. And Lord, we do dedicate, Father, this service in honor, Lord, of this ministry and this dear brother that you have called. And we ask your continued blessings upon it. And we pray, dear Lord, as we also are prepared to give today for further support and to be an encouragement and a help financially, Lord, as well, to Brother Bukowski, Lord. We do thank you for him and for the ministry of Friends of Israel as well. And again, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity we've had to hear from him and to hear from your word. And pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide Brother Bukowski and give him wisdom as he continues on, Lord, being faithful to the calling that you've given him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.